Welcome to WNBA, a fan podcast about women's basketball with your hosts, Adam Todd Brown and Logan Trent.
And now, the starting lineup for WNBA from Peoria, Illinois, 6'9", Adam Todd Brown. From Chicago, Illinois, 4'20", Logan Trent. Oh,
Logan, we did it. How's it going?
Incredible. I mean, there's nothing really going on right now, so to find something to talk about, it's at least good because WNBA is around. I mean, everything else is just dull and boring.
Yeah. I mean, it would just be such a boring episode if we were like, you know, how are things going in the world? Fine. Everything's fine. I mean, that's not fun to talk about, how everything's perfect and normal and fine and great again, finally. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm glad there's at least a little strife in the WNBA that we can talk about because they seem like they are teetering on the brink of a civil war, unlike America, which has never been more unified or sound as a nation. But WNBA, things are tense right now.
They have somebody who seems just unqualified to be leading. It just, kind of doesn't have any echoings in anything else. Yeah,
yeah. People are pretty mad at Kathy.
Oh, that Kathy.
Engelbert. She's under some fire right now. The last game of the season for Nafisa Collier. She decided to write a 4.5-minute statement about Kathy Engelbert and her leadership abilities. She had been apparently just secretly raging over a meeting they'd had earlier this year in February, which I like that. Keep that fucking flame going.
So she had that meeting in February, and then she did a whole season, and then she's been stewing about it. Because as we've mentioned several times during this season of WNBA, Kathy stuck her foot in her mouth a lot between February and now.
Yeah. And the things Kathy is accused of saying to Nafisa Collier are pretty inflammatory. Here is part of Nafisa Collier's statement. "I'd like to congratulate the Mercury for advancing to the finals. I want to be clear that this conversation is not about winning or losing. It's about something much bigger. The real threat to our league isn't money. It isn't ratings or even missed calls or even physical play. It's the lack of accountability from the league office. This past February, I sat across from Kathy and asked how she planned to address the officiating issues in our league. Her response was, well, only the losers complain about the refs. I also asked how she planned to fix the fact that players like Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, and Paige Beckers, who are clearly driving massive revenue for the league and are making so little for their first 4 years, her response was Caitlin Clark should be grateful she makes $16 million off the court because without the platform that the WNBA gives her, she wouldn't be making anything. And in that same conversation, she told me players should be on their knees thanking their lucky stars for the media rights deal that I got them." End quote. Damn.
Kathy then adjusted her monocle and then got away in the Monopoly car.
Like just vroom. Dove into her room full of gold coins.
"I don't talk to Baltic Avenue."
That is quite a response, especially the Caitlin Clark thing. Caitlin Clark's lucky she's making $16 million off the court. I feel like she was making that before she joined the WNBA, honestly. I mean, she maybe not $16 million, but she was up there. It's NIL time now. People are making way more money in
college.
Also,
it just feels like a failure of an enforcer not to pop out of the shadows and get in Kathy's face after that. Where were you?
Huh? Yeah. Why doesn't Sophie Cunningham just rob Kathy Engelbert?
Yeah. Where were you?
On Caitlin Clark's behalf.
Also, Kathy's talking a lot of shit for someone who's just put up a lot of weight. Caitlin's got guns now.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that what wrecked her season? Is her groin collapsing under the weight of those fucking 24-inch pythons, brother? Is that what's happening?
"Heard you talk shit about me."
Oh, man. Yeah. So this was Kathy Engelbert's response. "I have the utmost respect for Nafisa and every single player in our league. They are at the center of everything we do. I was disheartened to hear that some players feel the league and me personally do not care about them or listen to them. And if the players in the W don't feel appreciated and valued by the league, then we have to do better. and I have to do better. End quote. And then someone was like, what about that stuff you said about Caitlin Clark? To which Kathy replied, bitch lying. I didn't say that. And that didn't sit well with Nafisa Collier, as you'd expect, because that was kind of Kathy Engelbert's statement was, nope, didn't say that. Nafisa Collier's lying. And they had a follow-up meeting planned. And then Kathy got in front of the world and said Nafisa Collier lied on her. So Nafisa Collier canceled the meeting. And now they're probably just going to fight.
Yeah. Kathy, before this, was a CEO. And this is the most CEO-ass response to that.
Yeah. I have in the notes here, according to recent reports, WNBA revenues are projected to top $1 billion this year. That's actually a report from the place Kathy used to be CEO of, Deloitte.
Yeah.
They issued that report. She also, and I'm sure this is completely unimportant, but she was not asked to serve another four-year term as CEO of Deloitte. They chose not to carry on with her.
I'd also like to point out Deloitte is also, I think, the accounting place that was responsible for missing the Kawhi Leonard side payments thing.
Oh, yeah. What a brilliant scheme to get around the fucking salary cap.
Jesus.
He's got a paper route. We pay him $28 million a year to do it. It's just side hustle. Don't worry.
You know, when he's taking rest nights, he's working the stands, throwing hot dogs to fans as part of, you know, crew there. He's delivered so much cotton candy during timeouts.
Oh, am I correct that the All-Star game is in L.A. this year, I think? I'm going to fucking go to that. I'm going to try because I think it's at the Intuit Dome, which
I was about to look up All-Star game and I put Astar game, which is
Is the Astar game this year?
Yeah,
that's what I'm
You're already signed up for that.
Goddamn right. Season tickets, like season dickets. Woo!
Woo!
So lots of players released statements supporting Collier. Asia Wilson, Caitlin Clark, Sophie Cunningham, all the greats came out in support. Sophie Cunningham was especially fired up and angry about it, but mostly just because someone said something bad about Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's her job now. Defend Caitlin Clark at all costs.
Also, she has a chance to shit talk somebody else about taking money from her. She's always going to do that, which, yeah, I respect it. So, yeah, it's the only thing I respect.
So, yeah, according to that Deloitte report, like we said, WNBA revenues projected to top $1 billion this year. All-time high ratings on ESPN and ABC. Merch sales up 500%. And this blew my mind, but this is right there in the ESPN article that we will link to. Apparently, there is legitimate debate out there as to whether the WNBA's growth should be attributed to the players and the quality of the play or Kathy Engelbert's leadership. Who's having that debate, I wonder? Because it seems like it's not the players. That's for damn sure.
Kathy's going to walk into the debates with a shirt that says organizations win championships.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah. No.
Also, I don't know if people remember, but there used to be this stat that went around that said if the WNBA shared their revenue the way the NBA shared their revenue, then the highest paid player would make like $800,000 a year instead of now. I think the highest paid players make like $200,000 something a year, which would, you know, be a big improvement. A New York Times writer crunched those numbers again this past week. And now if the WNBA shared revenue the way the NBA does, the highest paid player would make $3 million a year.
Yeah, that's that David Berry guy. He's the one who did the original number two. He's pretty good in terms of, actually, he's not pretty good. He's the best probably in terms of breaking down the finance situation with the W. And he's always been the guy who's loudest when people would be like, oh, they're losing $50 million a year. It's like, no, they're not. This is a bullshit thing that you keep regurgitating. So again, it was unfair before. Now it's like comedically bad how underpaid they are.
Yeah, because the league has over the past couple of years taken off exponentially. And when was the last CBA? It was like 2020, right?
I believe so.
So yeah, the league was about to become what it is now.
Yeah.
If that's when the last CBA happened, then Yeah.
I also want to go to a point that Kathy said earlier with the players should be on their knees thanking their lucky stars for the media rights deal I got them. Fuck no. Even when that came out, you and I were both, they left a lot of money on that table with how not just things have changed in terms of live television being so important to broadcast revenue and having not, you can't miss appointments to watching TV, but also how it's streamed out to different streaming services. Next season, you're going to be able to see WNBA on Amazon. You're going to be able to see it on Peacock because USA is getting into that stuff. You're going to see it on ESPN still, and you're going to see it on League Pass and other things. And of course, can't ever forget ION on Friday nights. Yeah. So this bullshit media rights deal that she's talking about, where pretty much the minute it came out, former players and current players were like, that's a little low.
Yeah,
no. So even that aspect, it's at a point where even if I was an owner and I'm anti-labor because I'm an owner, I would be pissed because this is not part of the labor owner dispute. This is the actual money that you're supposed to be getting. This is where the big shit comes in. So ownership should be angry at her too.
Right. Yeah. And under the current CBA, players don't get increased shares of revenue until the league generates some mystery level of revenue that they claim they haven't generated yet. And the players are asking for proof that that's actually true. And the league is taking the Trump administration route and just being like, we gave you the proof. Players are like, what? We don't, what are you talking about? We don't have that. And they're like, no, yeah, you do. We give it to you every year. You got it. Don't worry.
This is like the Hollywood accounting bullshit where Star Wars has technically never made a profit.
Yeah. Exactly. I didn't realize Kathy is the first commissioner of the WNBA. Everyone before her was president of the WNBA. Adam Silver made her commissioner. And it seems like WNBA players like Adam Silver a lot more than they like Kathy Engelbert. Sabrina Ionescu is quoted in this article as saying she has a way better relationship with Adam Silver. He seems like a good dude. Seems like people like him.
So this is my problem with Kathy. So I think she's the second worst commissioner in all of sports, and I will never back down from number one being the guy who referred to the World Series trophy cheating scandal as a hunk of metal. I mean, you just, even Kathy and her dumbest would never say that about a championship.
That is an insane thing to say about a championship.
Yeah, so we'll put that aside. But my problem with Kathy, she's not a basketball person. She played basketball in college, and then she went off to corporate stuff for 33 years just doing accounting stuff like that. Roger Goodell, for what you want to complain about him, was brought up through the NFL. He was brought up through the league, through the league offices. Adam Silver was legal counsel and doing all types of legal stuff for the NBA and was David Silver's right-hand man for all of that until he was elevated to there. So there's an issue when you have someone just brought in out of nowhere and treating this like it's a company venture rather than a professional sports league. Because CEOs change businesses all the time and no one really gives a shit because CEO is a bullshit job. But as Fee points out, her husband had to start up a league and commissioner stuff, and he realized the human aspect, and he talked to players all the time, and Kathy just doesn't do that. She needs to go, man.
It seems like Nafisa Collier and her husband being involved in the Unrivaled League the way they are, some people see it as a conflict of interest, which on the one hand, I get it, but they also don't play the same time every year, and Unrivaled happened because WNBA players aren't paid enough.
It's a conflict of interest that spews out from a problem of their own making.
Yeah.
If Unrivaled didn't exist, they'd still be playing overseas and getting injured because that's literally what happened with Breonna Stewart, who was the reigning MVP and had to miss an entire season because she tore her ACL overseas.
Yeah.
So I get what you mean from the base standards of this is a different league. So there's like it might be a conflict of interest, but they literally position themselves so that they wouldn't be competing with the WNBA during playing time or anything like that. It's specifically supposed to give revenue after that season because they don't get paid enough. If the W wanted to solve this, just pay your players fucking more. So they don't have to do that shit off season.
Yeah, because most players would prefer to play less for more money. I think given the choice, most people on Earth would opt to do less work for more money. I don't know who would say no to that. I think Kathy maybe doesn't get that that's why LIV Golf is working. It's because they went to these players and were like, hey, you know how the PGA wants you to play like every week? What if you play like 14 events a year instead and you make the same money? Blood money or not, people are going to be like, fuck yeah, that sounds amazing. That sounds so great. And it would be the same thing if the WNBA just paid players. They'd be like, yeah, fuck Unrivaled. College kids can go do that shit.
But it's just, it's dumb. Also, I don't know if you put this in the notes, but at the formation of that, they offered the W a ownership stake in Unrivaled, which that would have solved that right there, but nope.
So. Yeah, that would have been smart. So there is some belief that getting rid of Kathy is going to be a central demand of the CBA negotiations. The deadline for the CBA is October 31st. Spooky. And a lot of people thinking they're going to try and oust Kathy. But here is a quote from Adam Silver about that. Kathy Engelbert has presided over historic growth in the league, but there is no question that there are issues that we need to address with our players, not just economic. There are relationship issues as well. I'm confident we can fix those over time, and this league can continue to be on the rocket trajectory that it's on right now, end quote. I think he's wrong. I don't think players and Kathy are going to be able to fix this shit. Once you publicly call someone a liar, that's hard to come back from.
This league is going to evolve and get bigger on a larger level, and I don't think she's the person to preside over that. Like, she got it from point B to point C, but getting from point C to D needs to be somebody else entirely.
Yeah. And Nafisa Collier, for her part, issued another statement recently. And by that, I mean, she went on Kamala Harris's podcast.
Hooping with Harris?
Is that what it's called? That'd be very funny. No,
that would be great. She just, I've come back with a podcast for what everybody wants me to talk about. Hoops.
Honestly, I'd prefer
I would respect it.
Yeah, I'd prefer it way more than her coming back being like, let's talk about 2028. Oh, no. You mean the Olympics? If so, fine. If that's what you want to talk about. This is Nafisa Collier talking about why she issued that statement. For so long, I felt like I saw what was going on behind closed doors. For so long, we tried to have these conversations and move the needle in those meetings we would have with the league, and I saw nothing was changing. Coaches winning and losing alike were complaining about the same things over and over again. Players over and over again. And we weren't seeing a change. End quote. So you think there's going to be a lockout?
If there is, I don't think it will go into playing time in the season. I think it'll be a lockout maybe through till the holidays or something like that. Can't see it getting that far without Silver stepping in and being like, okay, we need to make money. We like money. I like money. You like money. We all like money. Let's sit down.
Yeah, there are some suggestions that Adam Silver might step in and try to smooth things over if shit gets too contentious. Yeah, I sure hope it doesn't impact the season. I got season tickets again, so I am very excited about the LA Sparks. I'm going to try to hit some road games next year. At least that's Phoenix, perfect. Vegas, Seattle, maybe. All be easy.
Yeah, because you're in that area where you can hit up a lot of places pretty well with a car trip. Yeah. So, yeah.
Like, even Dallas wouldn't be... I mean, Dallas would be a bit of a drive, but...
You don't want to visit Dallas.
I mean, I've been to Dallas. I had the best comedy show of my life was on Halloween night in Dallas in 2016. But
if you've been to a strip mall, you've been to Dallas.
I like the food. The food seemed all right.
Yeah.
But yeah, I could never live in Dallas. I like having a power grid that's attached to other states. Just a kink of mine.
Oh, wait. You could also go up, too, because Portland.
Oh, yeah. Portland, Seattle.
Yeah.
Valkyries, all of that shit. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it next year.
Provided, you know, you're allowed to go between states between now and next year.
Yeah. Yeah. Provided that is still.
You have all your papers in order.
Yeah. If I'm allowed to cross the border.
One thing that I'd like to see more on the reporting side of this is because with the other leagues and stuff, like I mentioned, like Adam Silver, everyone knew he was going to be the next commissioner. Same thing with Goodell. It was always the heir apparent. I'd like to see some of the news agencies kind of just put together who would be a good replacement, who has the experience in terms of actually understanding the sport, but also the business acumen side of it, because we can't just have another CEO type who has no idea what the fuck they're doing when it comes to player relations.
Yeah. I vote for Elena Delladonna. She just took over as something related to the women's 3-on-3 national team.
Did you see what she said?
No, I did not.
When she was talking about player relations, she's like, Kathy never reached out to me, and I am honestly not sure if she even knows I'm retired.
Yikes.
Just a great comment by her.
Yeah, I could see her maybe getting a gig like that. It's going to have to be someone players trust.
Yeah.
Maybe it should be us. Maybe we should be co-commissioner of the WNBA.
That would be amazing. It would be ideal. I think people would get behind my Sophie knock that shit off league mandate, which is just, yeah.
That would be our first order of business. Sophie Cunningham, lifetime suspension. Fuck, why? Yeah, I just don't like her.
I give opposing coaches squirt bottles, like when you have to spray your cat or dog, when it's like, no, off the couch. Anytime she gets there,
naughty. So yeah, we'll see how contract negotiations go. I think you're right. I could see a lockout, but I don't think it's going to impact.
Yeah, next year. It won't. Yeah, it's not going to be anything that I think jeopardize. Like I said, there's too much at stake. And I think that especially with the amount of people who just came in as new franchises, because like you've got the Valkyries, you've got the two expansion teams coming next year, the Tempo and the Rose.
Yeah.
Or no, sorry, the Tempo and the, did they Fire. Settle for Fire? Yeah. Fire, Roses yeah. are the unrivaled team. Anyway, but with that, part of the reason that the revenue was $1 billion is because they paid a $250 million expansion fee. Oh,
yeah.
So those owners are going to want to get their money back, and locking out your league is not a way to do that. So there's reasons for both sides to come in here and do this. It's not going to be like one of those situations like with baseball and that, where the owners have been in place for a couple of years and things, and it's like, oh, we can sit on this for a couple of months. We don't get paychecks week to week. They're going to want to get their fucking cash back.
Yeah.
So they dropped nine bills, man.
And also, the players themselves, I imagine, aren't going to want to go without being paid.
That's the thing. It's going to be happening during the off season, so they'll be playing overseas or unrivaled, where they're going to be making more than they do in the W. So they've got strong hands in this.
Yeah, I mean, I could see some players being like, fuck it, I'll just play in unrivaled then. Because their season's short as shit. It's like 3 months, I think.
Yeah.
And God damn, it's fun. I fucking love the Unrivaled League.
Remember when they had the NBA lockout in 2011, some people went overseas, Euro leagues and stuff, but they were not making anywhere near the money that they would be getting out of their NBA contracts. It's the reverse situation here. We've had so many players say, I've made more money in one offseason here than I did in two WNBA seasons. With Unrivaled having that television contract, you're still getting the media buzz of being on there and stuff. So
yeah,
the players have a stronger hand than I think most leagues when they've had this type of lockout thing come back.
So should we talk about the WNBA finals? They're happening.
I told you, man. I told you it was going to happen.
They have not been as action-packed this season, I will say. Last year's WNBA finals, I've said it before, one of the best postseason series I've ever watched. So fucking fun. It seems like the Mercury might get swept this season.
I think that Asia Wilson had a quote where she said, you couldn't live with your failures. And where did that lead you back? Back to me. I am inevitable. And then she started snapping a lot, and just players off the Mercury were just vanishing left and right. So yeah.
Yeah. It hasn't been great for the Mercury, which is crazy because the Fever took the fucking Aces to overtime with their fucking practice squad, basically. Mm-hmm. So I was pretty sure the Mercury were going to come in and just drop the fucking hammer. And they are not dropping the hammer whatsoever. More like they're dropping the ball.
Oh,
ooh, take that, ladies. Did you just feel a vibration in Phoenix? That was the weight of my words.
You're going to have suddenly just a chain appeared around your neck like Skip Bayless when you...
Yeah.
I'm so happy for former Sky player Dane Evans. It's always nice to see someone leave the Sky and go on to better things, which seems to happen a lot. So
yeah, she's having a great postseason. God damn.
Yeah, no, it's kind of funny what happens when you know how to use your players on your roster. Just seems to be like a thing that you should be aware of as a coach and general manager, but my team wouldn't know anything about that.
Yeah, I do love this Phoenix Mercury team. They are so fun to watch, but I don't think they're going to pull it together.
I love watching Ka play basketball, and it's a really great story with Alyssa and like all the other players there too. It's just, you're running into a brick wall, and that brick wall is Asia. And it's, I like how even without Asia, you still are going up against a guard who's so good that her nickname is Point God. So like, they're not lacking for players.
Yeah, I remember when I went to that LA Sparks practice. They're playing the Aces next. And at one point, the coach just goes, "Don't forget, if Chelsea Gray's looking you in the eyes, she's throwing the ball somewhere else." Words to live by.
One thing I was very surprised by with this playoffs is that Becky Hammond is probably the coach who has done the least out of like yelling at officials and being thrown out.
Yeah.
Good God, have we had some good coaching moments this playoff run?
Yeah, Cheryl Reeves almost murdered a motherfucker.
Cheryl Reeves had to be held back by three of her own players.
What's crazy is of all the plays, that one wasn't really a foul.
No.
Collier just landed on her ankle weird.
Yeah, it was like, that's the one that set you off? Like,
yeah, she was pissed.
Oh, man.
Like, I assumed she, because she ended up getting suspended for, she went in on the fucking refs in the post game and got suspended for that. But I assumed she would get suspended for that fucking outburst at the end of the game.
Yeah,
like, she had to be dragged off the court.
That was the ultimate, "Mom, don't embarrass me." No, it's not worth it. Come on. Like,
yeah.
Players pulling you back while you're in a blazer. That's just, she lost it.
Yeah. Speaking of mom, you saying "mom, don't embarrass me" reminds me, have you seen that clip of that time Stephon Marbury got hurt and his mom runs out on the court? It's like, "God, mom, come on." So
there was that
great
one, and there was the one where LeBron was yelling at his mom on the sideline when he was like, back when he was like 23 or something, he was like super young. Player mom interactions are always hilarious on sidelines.
Yeah. So do we have any final thoughts on the WNBA finals? I think the Aces are going to win.
Yeah, I think there might be a gentle lady sweep on this, like maybe a single game, but I don't see this getting to six.
No.
But which is weird because like then it would have just been like the best of five, but those two extra games.
So this last story, not really WNBA related. I guess it's WNBA related in theme.
It does connect to our very first episode because our first ever episode was about Brittany. So
Griner.
Yeah.
And there's an American basketball player named Jared Shaw, plays in Indonesia. Earlier this year, he went down to the lobby of his apartment to collect a package when he was swarmed by 10 undercover police officers. There's video of him being arrested on social media. We'll link to it. Turns out the package had weed gummies in it, which, here's the thing. He says he takes them for Crohn's disease. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's beside the point. We're talking about weed gummies and the fucking punishment this guy's facing. It does not matter why he had weed gummies. He does not deserve what's happening to him right now. Because weed is still very much illegal in Indonesia, he is facing life in prison or execution by firing squad for possessing weed gummies. And unlike Brittany Griner, this case is getting no fucking attention in the United States. I found this article on The Guardian, which is a UK outlet, and I immediately Googled it, and every other article is just people reporting on the Guardian article.
Yeah, when you said that, like, I think I'm pretty good at following basketball news, if anyone's talking to me. I had not heard jack shit about this.
Yeah, I hadn't heard anything about it. And it sucks because, you know, with this administration that's in office right now, they are not going to go to bat for a fucking black basketball player who had weed gummies in Indonesia. Not a chance.
It's like a Mad Libs of what's the issue that they could least care about. The only way it could be like worse is if, oh, his part-time job was working at a renewable energy plant or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he builds wind farms.
He builds wind farms for nonprofits that look into human rights violations.
Yeah, Indonesia does not fuck around. They executed an Indonesian citizen and three foreigners in 2016 by firing squad for drug offenses. There are currently 500 people on death row in that country, mostly for drug-related crimes. What's especially nuts is he's being charged based on how much these weed gummies weigh, as opposed to how much drugs are in them. So it's almost as if he's being charged as if he had just a full jar of cocaine or a full jar of marijuana, as opposed to mostly candy with little bits of marijuana in it.
It's like if you had a joint in a bag and they charged you by the entire suitcase weight with your jeans and your t-shirts and whatever.
And that's the thing. They're claiming he was intending to sell these and distribute them to his teammates. I know when I grew up in Illinois, it was pretty well known that if you got caught with weed, if you had three separate bags of weed and they were just loose in your pocket, that was just possession of weed. If they were in a bag, if those three bags were in a bag to hold all three, then it was considered intention to distribute also. So he's going to get that kind of shit too, because they're arguing, well, he was going to give them to his teammates. He was going to sell them. So I don't know what this guy's going to do. He seems like he's fucked. Kind of.
It's like no one cares about the story outside of this article. Luckily, there's this one lawyer who specializes in this stuff who's been looking at it and things, but I just, I mean, I really don't know what she's going to be able to do.
Yeah, because that's the thing. He did violate the laws of Indonesia. Yeah. He apparently in the off season lives in Thailand, and they're way more liberal when it comes to weed laws there.
Which is crazy because they had that movie in the 90s with Claire Danes that was based off of a true story, Broke Down Palace. So that's the liberal area of that, to give you an idea of how screwed over this guy is.
The police claim he sent text messages to his teammates saying he would share the weed gummies with him, which if he did that, that's dumb.
Also, to establish, because we're saying weed gummies and stuff, it's not like he got 30 pounds of gummies. He got like $400. So he got like 100 gummies, 130 gummies, enough to cover a basketball season if you took one a day. And I vaguely remember something about that helping Crohn's disease in terms of eating and stuff like that, because Crohn's is a digestive stuff.
Yeah.
So I can see that being reasonable. But again, even if it wasn't, like you said, dude doesn't deserve to be killed by a firing squad or by any other means of killing somebody over that.
This is a quote from Ronald Sipayung, the local police chief. We are still running the investigation to uncover the international drugs network behind this case and to stop its distribution. So they clearly think this dude is like Nino Brown in New Jersey City or something. Probably doesn't help that he's black.
If you're implying that legal systems have had issues against black defendants.
Not here, but I think in Indonesia.
Oh, well, definitely not here. I mean, clearly.
Yeah. Yes, no. I mean, here, land of the free, home of the brave, you know?
There's that one. I was thinking about that one tweet from that one woman where it's like the America does something Americanly and quote marks, what are we, a bunch of Asians?
Yeah, and I think the fact that this isn't as political as the Brittany Griner thing, like,
also to be fair, this is where he plays regular basketball. It's not like a NBA guy playing who fell down. He was a guy who played at Utah State, didn't get drafted, and just played overseas for the past like 13 years. So there's definitely a name recognition thing on there, but that still doesn't make it fair.
Yeah, I am interested to see how this goes, because I feel like this guy's just going to get executed, which God, that's insane.
Maybe just on, I mean, it's not good, but it's better. But maybe just due to the basketball nature and stuff like that, maybe he gets prison like for like life or 30 years or something. But at least he's alive.
Yeah, I think I would take the firing squad over the rest of my life in an Indonesian prison. I think. I don't know.
Depends on if you have, you know, a bunch of other cool cast of like inmates that you can make a lifelong friendship with, like Morgan Freeman and William Sadler. And
prison is the new basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I hope this guy fucking gets out. But
I just, yeah, no, this is just, it's the most bummer of bummer things ever.
Yeah. It doesn't help that I think we're the highest profile U.S. outlet talking about this right now.
Well, I mean, as the second most popular podcast on iTunes, don't sell us short. Yeah.
And that first one is just AI slop. Mm-hmm. It's even just AI people listening to it. So you can scratch that one. That one doesn't even count. So we're actually the most popular podcast on iTunes. Don't go check. It fluctuates. The last time we checked, we were number one.
We've sent you the numbers. The numbers are backing us up there. We have the accounting numbers. We sent you the numbers.
Yeah. You have the numbers. They're there in front of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don't worry about it. So I think that is our episode. Free Jared Shaw. I don't know what else to say. This guy seems like he's fucked. But
don't firing squad Jared Shaw, but do fire Kathy.
Yeah. Don't firing squad Kathy.
No, just
fire Kathy.
Yeah. Fire Kathy. Very clear on that. She also does not deserve to be in front of a firing squad for her.
No.
Crimes
are not that severe.
No.
Although I would argue a little more severe than weed gummies, but, you know, to each their own.
Honestly, in the grand scope of things, like considering like the financial situations and that, like I would say that her crimes are probably more than weed. Yeah, no, yeah. I would put that like a firm, yeah, she's done more harm than he has.
So I think that's our episode. Logan, thank you so much for doing the pod. As always, what do we have to plug before we get out of here? You can read my writings on Beehive, adamtoddbrown.beehive.com. That's B-E-E-H-I-I-V. I got a bunch of new articles up, including a celebration of the 10-year anniversary of my Trump article from 2015. Oh, feels so good to be right. Ugh. And go check all that out. It's all free. If you click the ads at the bottom, I get paid, even if you don't buy anything. So, you know, also the ads are for weed gummies. So don't send them to Indonesia, but, you know, click those ads. Get high, baby. Logan, what do you want to plug?
I have a new podcast with my buddy John Ryman over at the Gamefully Unemployed Network called WrestleMovia, where we talk about the swolest theater kids of them all, pro wrestlers, and the movies that they make. Also, you can follow me on Blue Sky at the Logan Trent. And, Don't Commit Genocide. Yeah, that still seems to be a big problem going on. Yeah.
No. Are people still doing that?
Yeah, we got to have a new CBA where we kind of put that into there, like no genocide. That would be one of my big points in the world CBA that I'm working on right now.
Because Trump has ended, what, like 9, 10 wars now since he's been in office? 11, 12, something like that? All the wars?
I believe so. Yeah, no. Also, all the it's wars kind of weird because Jared Kushner negotiated peace in the Middle East last term.
That's right. Things should be, I'll check. But I think things are fine now.
Yeah, I might be going off of old information, maybe.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, we'll double check. We'll swing back around next
time. Oh, wait, I'm hearing from the IDF. We sent you the numbers. The numbers are right. Yeah. Oh, okay, my bad.
If you can't trust the IDF, who can you trust? And let's get the fuck out of here. Logan, say goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you.